You need to give the people, the congregation, the space and the time to just really reflect on how important this is. You lose it if it's a rush thing. You got the wafer, you got the thing, boom, 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 gone. Minute and a half, you need to have communion. Yeah. Just not convinced that's the way we need to do it.
Communion is one of the most powerful moments in a service. It's the tangible experience with God. But a lot of churches treat it like a transition or an occasional element to include. So today we're going to be talking with Michael W. Smith to talk about the importance of communion in the life of a Christian and a church community. Michael, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Good to be on with you. Appreciate it.
We're excited to talk about your new song. And also just talk about this topic of communion. I think a lot of us as worship leaders don't really know sometimes what to do with communion. Sometimes a pastor might throw it at us like it's an extra element or a special element that we have to do. Maybe we don't see it as something we get to do.
Right.
And it can feel sometimes rushed in a service or just tacked on without a lot of thought, maybe even disconnected. Have you noticed that in churches?
I have. And, you know, it's always bothered me, you know, that it feels like it's rushed. And I know you have time restraints, but, you know, the whole, when I was making this video, even I didn't even know we were going to have the communion table set up when I did this video, but it was overwhelmingly serious for me. I mean, if just like, I'm just not going to break the bread, just, you know, I think it's a very, very, it's a holy thing, you know, and I do think we've rushed it. And I think we need to maybe step back and let's just see what the scriptures say about that and what Jesus did when he broke the bread and the wine at the table, you know, and it's a very powerful thing. So it's scary in a good way. It's like, you know, you just fear the Lord, like, oh gosh, let me do this right. Cause I certainly don't want to be on the wrong end of things when it comes to something so serious as communion.
Totally. Yeah. It's a sacrament. I would love to hear what your journey has been with communion and maybe even why now it's become so important. Maybe it's been important your entire life, but I wonder like why now are you zeroing in on it? I grew up in a church that communion was practiced like we were a non-denominational church. Communion was practiced maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 months.
Yeah.
And it was something that would like happened at the end of the service. And it was just like, you know, tear the bread off, dip it in, say a prayer, kind of, you know, and a song would play. But I didn't grow up in one of those churches where it's just like something you do every single Sunday, that it's seen as a sacrament, that almost like the point of the service. That wasn't the church experience that I grew up with.
Right.
I'm curious, like what is communion like for you?
Yeah, well, same for me. I grew up in an American Baptist church and we did it once a month, you know, and I really didn't know what I was doing. I just did it. I mean, I felt okay about it because it being a young, immature believer, you know, just, I can partake of this, but as I've gotten older and hopefully a little wiser in my faith and examine the scriptures, man, it's a holy thing. And, you know, he told us to do it. And so that's, first of all, I think that's enough, you know? And then just the reflection of it, of just, this is my body, take this in remembrance of me. And then the blood, the same way, the cup, you know, the redemption of sins. If you really get inside of it, it's just like, it's a wow factor for me. You know, this thing is absolutely astounding. That he looks at us like we've never done anything wrong. It was all because of the shed blood of Christ. That's mind blowing to me. And so to be able to feel, not just feel, not only just based on emotions, but just to grasp the magnitude of what he did for us. I think that takes us to deeper places.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned it, that Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. This is my body. This is my blood. And what's really interesting, like, so in John, I think it's John 5, it says, like, anyone who eats of my flesh and drinks my blood will have eternal life.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay. So there's more to this, like eternal life. If you eat the flesh and drink the blood, you will have eternal life. So eternal life is not just like oh, I thought it was just about believing in God. Like, there's actually an action here that Jesus is talking about.
Yeah.
And it's such an important thing. I've started going to this church up the street from our house that's more traditional, and they do communion at the end of the service.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they've saved the best for last.
I like that. I like that.
This is like, this is the headliner. Yeah. I mean, this is the best for last. This is, communion is the mountaintop moment where everything in the service is leading. It's leading to this moment.
Yeah.
And it is that moment where you have that tangible experience with God. I've never left one of those services and thought, oh, I didn't have an experience with God today.
Yeah.
There's something really special about the tangibleness of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great idea. We did it when at Belmont Church. It was towards the end of the service when I went to Belmont on Music Row with Don Finto, who was the pastor then. He's still mentoring me after 43 years. He's 95. That's a whole other story, but it's amazing. But we did communion every week at Belmont, and it was a very, very serious, holy thing. And and I think the action that comes, I mean, I can't imagine being a heathen and a hellraiser and taking communion. You know what I'm saying? Right. So there's a little bit of, when you partake of this, it's like, poof, obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, so there's this whole thing of just going, the seriousness of what he did for us. And then my part is, then how do I respond to that?
Mm-hmm.
And my response is to walk with God, abide in him, love my neighbor, love God with all my heart, you know, and be a reflection of him everywhere I go. So
you and I have probably both been in the church service where, like, communion is, it's silent during communion, and everybody's just going up and taking communion, and they come back to their seats and it's quiet. But then there's other churches that there's a communion song playing underneath as people are going up. What role do you see music playing, like, in the sacrament of communion?
I think if it's the right song, you know, sometimes people play instrumentals, you know, I think it's fine to just have, I mean, I don't think, maybe you don't need music, you know, it's a preference, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of think the hymn for communion could serve a role in communion because of what the lyric says. It's so powerful. And the whole communion thing is invitational. That's why I wanted to write. I wrote with Michael Olson, and great friend of mine and worship leader. And I've always wanted to write a song, because I don't think we have enough songs about communion. That's just my opinion. But to write a song about the body and the blood, but make it invitational. And what I love about even the beginning of the song, come to the table and pull up a chair.
Yeah.
There's a seat for you at the table. That's enough. Just the first two lines is enough, you know? So I think it could serve a purpose, just as long as it doesn't, you don't want anything to interfere with the individuals in your congregation that are trying to have that moment with them and God. But I think this song could be otherwise. I think it can serve as a companion, I guess, to as we take the Lord's Supper.
Let's talk more about the song. So the song title, by the way, is Hymn of Communion. Like, let's share just a little bit about what sparked the idea for that song. Was it just that you wanted more communion? You thought there needed to be another communion song, or was there something that really inspired you guys coming up with that?
I had talked to Michael Olson about it, and Michael kind of came up with the idea, but we've talked about it for a while. And when we started chatting about it, because can we make this invitational? And gosh, he just sent me a verse and a chorus and just blew my mind, you know? And I'm not really good at, you know, I've gotten better at it over the years. I'm usually write the music first and I have an idea, you know, almost, you know, 95% of the songs I write are music first, but this was not the case. I actually wrote the music to this idea. But you know, it's just, it was what secured it for me was God is here with us. Emmanuel, take the bread, lift the cup, the body and the blood.
Yeah.
And it's the simple, now the sacred, the common, now unique, for the lofty and the lowly, the mighty and the meek, the breaking for your healing, the bleeding sets you free. He is waiting now for all who would believe. So to me, it's like, there's maybe somebody out there who's not a believer. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I love about it, that there's somebody out there that has been contemplating and going, gosh, maybe this thing really is true. Maybe I really do have a seat at the table.
Was there a part of the song that was really hard to write lyrically? Because I feel like if you're writing a song about communion, it would feel like there's some important theological pieces to nail.
I mean, I think from especially for Michael, because he really wrote most of it, really. You know, we chatted about it, and, you know, I had some input, change a line here, maybe change this. But just the, you know, I even think about it now. I mean, I just go, boy, I sure hope we got it right, you know. Because, you know, that the Eucharist and the communion is like it's central to the Catholic Church, you know. So, you know, what do they think about the song? You know, I mean, I think they would embrace it, you know.
You should call it Matt Maher.
I did I just reached out to Matt literally right before this interview. And I sent it to him. I said, I don't know if you've heard this song. I would love to know your opinion. Maybe we sing it again and maybe you sing it with me. I just threw it out there. You know, God love.
And if you disagree, it's too late. It's already out.
Yeah, it's already out. So, but, you know, I don't think we aired, you know, and we got a lot of input from a lot of people. Do you think we got it dialed in? And we really never got any pushback.
Yeah, good. I wonder why there aren't more songs specifically written for communion. Do you have any sort of hunch about that?
Well, my humble opinion, it might spark a backlash. You know, it's not popular. It's not going to get a million hits, or maybe it will, or it's that whole mindset. It's just going, oh, we got to write something that's like, an elevation song or Bethel, and it's got to be, you know, it's got to be up and it's got to have a minute and everybody's singing. And that whole thing bothers me, you know. You know what? I'm not going to cast the first stone. I've obviously written things that probably wasn't out of the right approach, or maybe it was selfish or whatever in the past. But I think that might be it, but I could totally be wrong. I mean, all this is subjective, you know, on some level, but I think we need more songs like this and more reflective songs. And I miss liturgy. I miss, you know, like I said, I grew up in a Baptist church, and then I was in a charismatic church at Belmont, you know, and I love to worship and I love it all, you know, but I miss the contemplation. I don't think we're still enough. Matter of fact, in church the other day, one of my favorite things happened. I was, you know, my son-in-law, Jack Mooring, who's Leland's brother, you know, pastors this little church. He's married to my daughter, Whitney, and he asked if I would lead. I said, can I lead by myself? I still have time to pull it all together. But we ended up doing some older songs. It ended up just being this amazing time. And all of a sudden, it got really heavy. Like the you could just sense the presence of God in the room. And I just started playing in the spirit, and I just stopped. And nobody moved for 5 minutes.
Mm.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
We don't do enough of that.
Right.
You know, we always got to fill the gap.
Yeah.
And I think in the stillness, God wants to speak to us. And we're just going all the time. And then a lot of us are doing this all the time. You know, we got our phones, and it's just, thank God, be still and know that I'm God. I think about that verse all the time.
Yeah.
So
I totally agree with you that we don't have enough of those moments. I feel like the modern non-denominational church has gotten really good at putting together a set list together.
Yeah.
That just plays song to song. It's like a playlist.
Right.
We've become really good song leaders and not really great worship leaders.
Yeah.
Like, we can play the songs. And I was thinking about, like, you know, even just Selah moments.
Yeah.
Like in the Psalms, that like, we need like moments where we just pause and like listen and just be quiet. And that's what does really draw me. I mean, like I said, I grew up in non-denominational church. And to this day, like, when I'm actually drawn to go to a Catholic church, because I love the reverence.
Me too.
I love the liturgy. I love the quiet. I love the moment where, like, literally they tell you, I mean, it's so funny. Watching me in a Catholic church is probably like comical, because I'm just like, you know, Mr. Bean, you know, like in the church, like trying to figure out what's happening next. But like when they tell you to like kneel down, and, you know, everybody folds the thing down, and like you kneel and you have silence.
Yeah.
I think we need more space like that in church.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
And it's not that we have to swing completely that way.
We don't have to.
But can we find those balances like you just were talking about, that you in the middle of worship, just like pause for a few minutes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think it's special. I agree that that's probably why communion songs aren't super popular amongst like modern worship music, is because the churches who are playing those songs, like these contemporary worship songs, aren't probably practicing communion that often.
Yeah.
And I hope that we can do that, because there is something, Jesus told us to do it. It's a sacrament that's really important, and it's literally like a tangible way to experience God.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips from your experiences at church of like how worship leaders can implement communion at their church?
No, you have so many different denominations and everybody's got their opinion of what it needs to be done. And
I know. I know.
I mean, I think what you guys did at, you know, your church, you know, you do it at the very end, and you just, I just think it just doesn't need to be rushed.
Right.
You need to give the people, the congregation, the space and the time to just really reflect on how important this is. And I think you lose it with, if it's a rush thing. You got the wafer, you got the thing, boom, 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 gone, minute and a half, and you've done communion. Yeah. Just not convinced that's the way we need to do it. But again, that's my humble opinion. I know we're all trying to figure it out. We all want to do the right thing and just be right in the middle of God's will. And when it comes to something like this, it's serious. And so I think it deserves, if it takes hours of conversation of leadership and senior pastors and worship leaders going, you know what? We might need to readdress how we do this every Sunday or once a month. So.
And it is serious. And actually, that's why I'm glad we're having this conversation. I've been doing, I think this is episode like 150 something.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've ever in all of our episodes talked about communion.
Wow.
We've talked about great opening songs. We've talked about songs of lament. You know, we've never talked though about communion. And I do think that maybe that's also another thing, that we need more teaching on communion. Because also I feel like when I go to a church and it's the moment for communion, often like all is said about it is literally you just read that verse.
Right.
Jesus says that this is my body, this is my blood. And then they jump right into communion.
Right.
But we should do more teaching about, okay, what is this? Why are we doing this? What is the importance of this?
I think, especially if you got a younger generation of kids, I think they need to be taught. I think there needs to be a teaching on what this is all about. You know, And I don't think we've had that. We do it because it's in the Word, and we do it. Oh, we're going to take communion because we believe. Yeah, great. But I think we need to be taught from the book.
Yeah,
about the importance of it and how serious it is.
Yeah. Yeah, because otherwise it's just kind of role-playing or just people kind of see it as like a churchy thing. Like, oh, yeah, that's just what happens at church every single week. But there's a seriousness to it. Well, I'm glad you wrote this song and that it's a song that a church can implement, you know, playing it maybe during communion or before or after. Or even just a song that's playing in your lobby or something, or a song that you're sending to your congregation ahead of time to even be thinking about, hey, we're going to be taking communion this week.
Yeah.
Listen to this song, you know, prepare your heart.
It's a good idea.
I do like the idea of your song too, at the table. It made me think about, you know, there are theological differences that churches have about like who can take communion, who cannot.
Right.
And it made me think about a memory of, I once visited a Catholic church in downtown Chicago and they were doing communion, and I actually went and asked the priest ahead of time, like, hey, you know what? I'm not Catholic, but I'm a Christian. Like, I believe in the sacrament of communion. I believe that, you know, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And he was like, then you can do this. Because I know that some Catholic churches like hold that line pretty strong, that unless you're a part of the Catholic church, you can't.
Yeah. Yeah, I got turned down in the Catholic Church one time. But it's okay.
Did you?
Yeah, it's okay though. So I didn't get my feelings hurt. I just thought, okay, it's all good.
Yeah. So. Right. I know it's interesting because some draw the line on that and some don't. And I don't know if you and I want to get in that conversation right now.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. But I'm really glad you did this. I'm curious from your perspective, you've been in worship music and Christian music for so long. Are there any other elements of a church service that you feel are under underserved by songwriters and maybe even underserved by, hey, we should probably pay a little bit more attention to this. Are there any other elements like communion that you think we're not giving enough attention to?
I think, well, just again, my opinion. I don't think we're quite, I said it earlier, I don't think we're quiet enough, you know? I think there just needs to be, even if it's not communion, like another thing that I did in church, and Jack doesn't do this all the time, and it's okay, but I'm thinking we are going to read scripture together. So I read it, and I put it up on the screen, and we all read it together. I think it was Psalm 118, believe it or not. There was a segment from Psalm 118, and then we did, and then we did the Ephesians 3 prayer. I pray that you would be rooted, but established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long. And we all read it together. And I had more people come up to me going, thank you. Thank you. So it kind of gave the people in our church, you know, I think there's a lot of people who would love to have liturgy, you know, a little bit more of that as a part of the service. And I gave them, maybe it wasn't liturgy. We just read the word together. I just think that's maybe a good idea, you know?
Yeah. I agree with that. I think we need more scripture in services. One of my favorite elements to incorporate in a worship set is open mic scripture reading, which would scare a lot of worship leaders.
Yeah.
Literally, Michael, literally, I will put a microphone at the front of the stage.
Yeah.
Like facing out, like towards the crowd. And then I say, like, before we sing a song like Same God by Elevation.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, we're going to sing this song, Same God, that talks about who God is and like his faithfulness over generations. And I want you right now, as we're singing the song, I want you to open your Bible and I want you to find a verse that talks about who God is, like the faithfulness of God, a promise that God makes about who he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when we get to the end of the second chorus, I want everybody, I want you guys to line up right now at this microphone. And we're going to hear God's word read over one another.
That's great.
And then in the middle of the song, people read the scripture.
I love it.
And then you launch into the bridge or something.
Yeah, I love it. It's awesome. Great
people
idea.
People want to hear the word of God. It's like so powerful.
Yeah. Good.
Do you lead worship often at your church? Like, are you?
No, not really. Maybe every 3 months or so. Jack does, because he's kind of been doing both roles. I'm trying to just kind of help, you know, because it's a small church, you know, and I'm just trying to relieve the pressure a little bit because he's doing it all. So I say, Jack, just lean on me. I'm here. I'll jump in and lead, you know. So I lead more worship really when I'm on the road, you know, when I start the tour. I've been home most of the year, but, you know, we have this wonderful moment in the night, for at least 45 minutes, you know, at least, where we just kind of go all in vertical, which is beautiful. So
I'll leave you with this because we got to wrap up here in a minute. But I was just thinking another element that would be interesting, I think, to bring into church more is antiphonal reading, where it's like the men say something, the women say something, or the leader says something and the congregation says something. Yeah.
That's kind of the book of common prayer, which I love. You know, I don't have any problem with that. You know, I almost did that Sunday. Let me read. They respond. I read. They respond. And it can be the men and the women, whatever. Yeah, I love that idea. Yeah.
You know what we got to do is bring back Prince of Peace, your song.
Yeah,
that's You Are Holy.
Yeah, that's a blast from the past. Worship again.
Yeah, that was a great song. Yeah. Where the girls had a part and the men had a part.
It was great.
It's funny, my wife said that when she was like 8 years old, 10 years old, she used to listen to that song on repeat over and over and over. And she wasn't even a Christian, but someone that she knew, like a family friend, like had this like CD and was playing it over and over and over, and they like loved that song.
Wow, it's awesome.
Michael, I appreciate you taking
the time
to have this conversation.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for this song that you've given the church to use for communion, Hymn of Communion. It's on Song Select on CCLI. Go get all the charts, get all the tracks, listen to the song, and do communion at your church. It's important. Michael, thank you.
Bless you. All right, thank you.
All right, guys, great conversation with Michael W. Smith. Make sure you check out his song, Hymn of Communion. Get the tracks and the charts at Loop Community and Song Select. I hope you're doing communion at your church. And if you are, let us know how you design the communion element in your service. What does it look like? How do you make it meaningful? Let us know down in the comments below how you do communion at your church. Hit the like and subscribe button to stay tuned for future shows.